I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Evans and Gordon Dalziel are strapped in for the second half because we're actually underway already. We've had busy half-time interval, which has taken us up nicely to the start of the second halves. So let's do it.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get your essential medicines and vaccines before you head off on holiday.
Well, Hugh, there's intrigue everywhere. We thought there would be intrigue.
Yeah.
And there's still a storyline brewing at Celtic because they're going to go 16 points clear. But we think that one's probably done and dusted, unless Dundee United have got something special in them and all the other games tight as you would like them to be.
Interesting thing at Celtic, as ever, will be what changes will Brendan Rodgers make with Bayern Munich in mind. Dundee, the loss of a goal to Aberdeen, not necessarily the end of the world for Dundee today, but it will feel like that if you don't get one back, because they'll slip further down the league table. And Ross County, already in front at Motherwell at the moment, go above Dundee. So worrying time for Tony Docherty. Derek McInnes doing what he had to do, getting in front against St Johnstone, but beware the late goal that St Johnstone can come up with. So, and of course the championship, major goal for Falkirk right at the death in the first half. I would think that would give them immense boost in the second half.
They've actually made a change at the break, Falkirk as well. Barney Stewart for Gary Oliver. No changes for Celtic or Dundee United. No changes anywhere else, actually. So everyone's fairly content with what they saw in the first half, at least in personnel wise. That's a lie. Dundee, Palmer Holden on for Scott Tiffany. So even more of a physical presence up top for Dundee. I'll tell you what, let's leave as long as we can for this, Hugh, because it's a nice one today.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The second half teaser.
With the scottishsun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. Think about that one for a second. Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May have been managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. I've played in four leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland. Who am I? Played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. Managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. Played in four leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland.
Good question. Really like it. Good question.
Jim Leighton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was in the 80s.
He did play in the 90s, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's quite a
but he's
broad range here.
His terrible moment at the start of the 90s when he played for Man U and Fergie dropped him for the
Crystal Palace.
Yeah, FA Cup replay.
Is that the 90s?
Yeah. At Clyde SSB, it's just one name this time. You need to get it quicker than everyone else. So fire it over. Let's see what you're capable of on there at Clyde SSB.
And on the subject of Danny Welbeck, the Mighty Seagulls.
Oh,
3-0 versus Chelsea last night.
Happy with that?
I was texting my boy, my grandson, in the Amex, and they were purring with delight.
No wonder at the goal. What was the lad's name?
Mitoma.
Oh my goodness, what a touch. What did you see?
Is he not leaving? No, I thought he was leaving the January.
Did you see the goal?
No, I didn't.
Go and watch the touch. It's incredible. Yeah. It just comes over his head and he just, oh, unbelievable.
Why did you not see it? Where were you last night?
I was busy watching one of my favourites at the Hydro, James Blunt.
Oh, come on.
Beautiful.
Oh, it was magnificent.
I'd rather watch Elton John sitting there.
Have you never seen his documentary?
I don't. I know, brilliant. Look, they tell me he's a real funny guy.
He is. He is.
But
some good tunes in there.
We all do things romantically for Valentine. I was away, went myself, sat down, watched Bridget Jones.
You're kidding on.
No.
You spent Valentine's Day on your own watching Bridget Jones.
Something about the boy or something. Mad about the boy, Bridget Jones.
Oh, it's tragic.
Beautiful.
I do feel bad for you.
Yeah,
I should have invited you along to James Blunt. You could
I was quite happy with Bridget.
Bridget Jones.
Is that the first time you've seen it?
I've seen most of them, yeah.
Oh, so it's not the first time you've seen it then?
No, this is a new one, it's out.
Why is there a new one?
A new one,
yeah.
Hold on a second. No. You went to the cinema?
Yeah.
No, you didn't. I don't believe that. I thought you meant you watched Bridget Jones, the original one.
The new one's called Mad About the Boy.
Sorry, I didn't know
that. Everybody wants to go and see it. I thought, being a single guy,
you went on your own last
night. I'll get a wee pick
and
mix. Nope. I'll get my wee Diet Pepsi. Sit down there.
By the way, I see you sinking. Valentine's Day, single guy, going to the cinema. Go see a romantic.
You never know. You might pick up a fallout.
Hugh, is this an element of his fantasy rather than reality?
Well, he did.
Hugh, tell the truth.
He described Hugh Grant's performance in the film as being one of the best bits about it.
I know, but he's got a magic TV. Remember?
No, I didn't watch it. Don't be.
Surely it's not on the magic TV already.
Oh, no, can it be?
Ah, Bridget Jones on Valentine's Day. Yes. What has happened to you?
He's kinder to the film than the newspaper reviewers. They didn't get a great review.
Well, how could it? I mean, there's about five of them.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody out there that's going to watch it maybe over the weekend, but the funeral.
I believe you watched it somehow.
There won't be a next one.
I do not believe you went to the cinema.
I went to the cinema. The one in Coat Bridge.
The showcase. What time was the showing?
6:10.
That's. You went to 6 o'clock.
6:10. That's even weirder.
Well, I didn't want to go late at night. I'm going to look really silly.
I'll just look it up and see if there was a 6:10 showing last night.
You missed Super Scoreboard. Goal Flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Goal Aberdeen. Ooh. Dundee 0, Aberdeen 2. Is this the day they return to winning ways in the Scottish Premiership? And it's a wonderful strike as well from Topi Keskinen, the man with the Wayne Rooney and fishing rod tattoo. 25 yards out, right footed curler, and one that absolutely delights the travelling fans, because Aberdeen are now 2-0 up at Dens
and go third in the table.
As things stand,
Celtic 2 up, Aberdeen 2 up. If those score lines become results, then you have Aberdeen third in the table. Astonishing.
Keskinen was one that looked like
he did look good at the start,
and like Aberdeen season actually, and lots of the players just went off the boil. But it sounds like a good goal and an important goal to put them 2 up.
They're losing some goals at home, Dundee. You know, they're dropping like a stone. They were well up there, and all of a sudden they find themselves at this time second bottom of the Premiership. Not good for Tommy Dockup at Dundee.
Yang pulled down by Glenn Middleton. Booked. Oh, and we've got another goal at Dens. Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Game on.
Looking good for Dundee.
Seb Palmer Holden, what an introduction. Just on at the break, he's got his team back in it. And you know, with Aberdeen's fragility, could that be
the
start of something worrying?
That's a test for your backline now, the character in them.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's good timing from Dundee, isn't it? Get right back in the game. That does shift the pressure over. Because at 2-0, you're thinking, right, we're fine here, we're doing okay. All of a sudden, they score, quick reply, puts you under a little bit of pressure. Starting to look a little bit brighter for Tony Dockup.
Poor defending as well, something that Aberdeen have specialised in over this run, Hugh.
Well, Dundee were looking down the barrel. Now they're thankful for a double barrel. Palmer Holden.
I like it. I like it. I see what you've done there. Very good, said Palmer Holden with the goal, and all of a sudden it is game on there. So 2-1. A couple of our games are poised now, because 2-1 as well in the big championship one. Falkirk trailing 2-1 at home to Ayr. Motherwell still only a goal behind, but they really need to find something. Can't go on losing games like this one, or they're in real bother. Still only 1-0 at Rugby Park. And for all Kelly's dominance, St Johnstone are now improved. There was a scare there. Duke McKenna's cross not dealt with, the horror not convincing. So maybe Kelly not building up the cushion that they could have done. Luke McCowan's had a free kick saved, a low one, at Celtic Park.
The Dazzler's got it. He's got
good,
the second half
shout
too,
that. Well done.
Well done.
I thought that was quite easy.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I don't think it's easy.
Nah, you just, the jigsaw was working well today.
Good on you. It's impressive the way your mind works.
I'm quite good at these, isn't I?
Well, it's hard to know, because you cheated for ages and told us that you did.
Yeah, but I was an honest cheat.
Quite hard to judge.
I'm now an honest person.
Savelge booked for Dundee United, but the ref probably should have just played on. Really, Celtic had the ball in a dangerous area. That's always a real frustration when that happens. But I suppose it's one you can almost forgive, because you can understand why the refs are just trying to make the right decision. But often a pause for breath would be the best option.
Got to imagine Brendan Rodgers is just waiting on that third goal going in before he rings the changes. Interesting to see how long some of them play, actually. Ida, Jota, for instance, Hatate, you know, with Tuesday night in mind.
I think there's a bit of a check going on at Fir Park, because Andy Halliday pulled down at a corner.
Oh, apparently Stonewaller can see it from here.
Difficult, these ones, aren't they? I think it used to be handballs, right? I think this is now the new hard one to get consistency on.
The pulls.
The old pull in the box, because you're looking at, is the ball going near where its intended target and all that sort of stuff, and everybody does it, and I think they're hard to get. Like I say, some sort of consistency,
you know,
or play on.
Do you know what's incredible, right? Referees are looking for these sort of things, right? And see if you watch it. How bad is it in the box? Do you know who's terrible for it? And I watched him a week ago. Ingles, Celtic, in the box. He just holds on to players. And I'm thinking to myself, you need to be careful. Obviously, it's when the ball comes in. Then if you let go, and then you can go and challenge. But not just him, but there's a lot of players running the risk of giving away soft penalties.
Good chance, Kelly. Brad Lyons with a low shot saved. A second goal would be huge for Derek McInnes' side, but it's not come yet. You suspect the second goal at Fir Park is going to be massive if it comes as well. 7,500 inside dens. The majority of them are not happy at the result, because the home side trail. But that goal, if you're Aberdeen, the nerves will start to set in, Hugh, you would imagine.
Yeah, because you're thinking, oh no, not again. But it's a long-standing test of their character, because they started the day 14 games without a win in the Premiership, and now they've got one as things stand, and they have to hold on to it.
Ingles is coming on for Celtic, so we're at that stage mark where they'll try and use the squad. I mean, they would do that anyway today, because they do it in every game, but obviously people are looking at it through the Bayern Munich lens this time.
I take it will be for Hatate, you'd imagine, because McCown, you wouldn't think, would start, and McGregor just seems to play every minute of most games, so you'd expect that as a change.
Got another goal to tell you about.
I wonder where.
Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Ross County have got a second. It's Motherwell nil, Ross County 2, and it is Ronan Hale again. Motherwell putting on the pressure at the start of the second half, trying to get back in it, and County break up the other end. Hale slides a low finish into the corner beyond Balcombe, and Motherwell are in bother. We've got another one.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Fraser Murray, free kick, he's been excellent. 30 yards out, he finds the net. One of those that looks too far, and he somehow finds the back of the net, and Kilmarnock lead 2-0 as well. So really going to shake things up at the bottom of the table, because Motherwell heading for defeat, County heading for victory. So are Kilmarnock, booing everywhere at Fir Park after that ball hit the net.
Question to be asked: have Motherwell done the right thing by taking this length of time to appoint a manager?
Only time will tell, Hugh. I can totally understand it. they've got to get it right. But this was what everybody was calling a 6-pointer. Still a lot of games to go. But they don't think, I don't think they're going to get anything out this afternoon unless they can do a Dundee and get a quick reply and put a little bit of pressure on. I called it at 3 o'clock. I fancied Ross County to go and win. I think you've got to change. I don't care who you are. You've got to change things if you're not getting results. And Motherwell were not getting results. I was delighted when I heard Fraser maybe saying that it could have been a back four. Now we've found out, listen, it is a back three is normal. I think you've got to change things about. And unfortunately for Motherwell, they've not done that. And the sooner they get a new manager in that building, the better.
It's a big goal for Ross County.
Oh, brilliant for Ross County, because obviously it takes them up to 29 points just in the coattails of St Mirren, Hearts and Motherwell, only a couple of points. But I mistakenly said Motherwell were in the bottom half of the table at the start of the show, but puts them there.
Well, it pretty much does. Yeah. That's the thing, I wasn't disagreeing with the sentiment. It just shows you how tight it was.
Yeah. But that, my point about the backroom team, you know, do you change everything then? Because they've got to have been a part of what's went before and what's happening now.
But what went before they were happy with? So do they say to a manager, yeah, we're going to bring you in as a manager, but you have to keep the backroom stuff? Because as Motherwell, I don't think have got the money to change everything about and then bring in a new backroom staff. Now, probably depending who the manager is, you want to come in with your staff. I know the argument is, well, look what Postecoglou achieved at Celtic. I totally take that on board. But when you walk in, you've got a Celtic squad, completely different from working at Motherwell. I'll be interested to see how that one develops for me.
A big goal for Kelly as well, because we just said St Johnstone were starting to get a bit more of a foothold in the game, doing much better than they did in the first half. So for Kelly to potentially kill that one off.
Oh, Kamalik now in the same points. Assuming that the scoreline becomes a result and they're two ahead, they go on the same points as Motherwell, who started the day in sixth place. Yeah. So all of a sudden, it's a games of consequences.
A 30-yard free kick, did you say as well?
Yeah, Fraser Murray, he's been excellent today as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like to see that one.
Give us your teaser again, please.
I have played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. I've been managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. I've played in four leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland. Who am I?
Stuart Ibbertson's gone for a man who was on the telly last night. I noticed Davy Weir.
No.
David Campbell thinks it could be Barry Nicholson.
And it's not.
A few people saying those two. I can see man from Del Monte saying it. Joe Moore as well. RW thinks Charlie Adam.
No.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
We've got another goal for Kilmarnock. It's Bobby Wales. An impressive season he's having, the teenager. He makes it 3-0. His running power's been a real strength of his. Long ball, great run, great touch, brilliant finish. And a huge goal in the championship.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Scott Arfield again.
Oh. No way.
Ayr United have been pegged back. It is Falkirk 2, Ayr United 2. Harry Stone spills the shot from the substitute Barney Stewart, and there's that man, Scott Arfield. 4 goals in the 2 games since returning.
And who would bet against him scoring a winner this afternoon, just to put the cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake.
Remarkable signing. Still got it. He's made a career out of just arriving in the box at the right time. I've seen some of the goals against Partick Thistle last week, and he's certainly took on that form. But I was surprised that Ayr were 2 up in that one, because Falkirk have been so impressive this season, especially at home. I wonder if we'll get a winner there.
Oh, they'll get a winner. I said at the beginning of the show, I looked at these fixtures, there's goals written all over them, and we're certainly getting that. We're getting excitement. We've got excitement at Dens, we've got excitement at Falkirk, Motherwell, Ross County. I can't see anything happening there. No excitement at Kilmarnock, no excitement at Celtic. No, we're not really getting a lot of excitement this afternoon.
Switch off in.
But there's still a lot of games firmly in the balance.
The Partick Thistle fans will be getting excited, but in a negative way. 3 down there.
Oh,
wow. Partick Thistle fans, they phoned. Last week they were angry. Oh. This cannot be good. Today, 3-0 down, as Hugh says. Dylan Easton, 62nd minute penalty.
Another penalty. Conceded 2 penalties last week as well. Yeah, not a good day for Thistle.
Will we get more Jags fans on, I wonder? We'll find out in about, where are we, half an hour or so.
You've got lined up. I think officially now, hate saying it, but the manager will really come under a lot of pressure.
Good chance Tony Watt at the back post. It's a lovely floated ball from Lennon Miller. Kind of diving effort from Tony Watt. And it's actually a really good save from Jordan Omisa. Change has been made in that game as well. I can see Jordan White coming on. Where else? I think Plan John for Motherwell. So various changes getting made, but County very much in the driving seat.
Good on
there.
The road, County this year, away from home. So good result for them so far.
Yeah, White on for Phillips, former Motherwell striker Jordan White, of course. Just didn't quite work out. Always been more comfortable in the dark blue of Ross County. A good servant there.
He's been a good player for County, a real good player. He's a handful. You're right, Gordon. When he came to Fir Park, I thought that was a good signing, but the club just didn't fit. And he went back to Ross County, and he's doing very, very well indeed. Motherwell have got, what, 11, 12 strikers in their books. I think we should throw
feels
them
like
all
it.
On.
Still only one correct answer on the podium for the teaser. Lots of good guesses, lots of near misses, but only one, plus Gordon DL, has got it right. So quickly, Hugh, reminder.
I have played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. I have been managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. I have played in four leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland. Who am I?
Come on, only one person's got that right. I know we've got more in us than that at Clyde SSB.
It's the old thing with Celtic's opponents, isn't it? You know, you're two down to Celtic, and they bring on the most expensive player in the club's history, Arnott Engels, and the Duracell Bunny at the same time.
Motherwell must be wondering what they need to do. That's an outstanding save from Jordan Omisa from Plan. She's just on a header. It was going right in the top corner, and it's a properly top-drawer save from the Ross County keeper. So still 2-0 at Fir Park. Morton 1, Airdrie 2. Don't get many Airdrie League wins these days, but they have picked up in recent times.
Rico Diak on loan from Partick Thistle. Could be down with him.
Exactly. Why was he on the bench
players?
Well, especially today when Brian Graham's suspended.
Yeah.
Who's leading the line in his absence again?
I think it's Terry Abelardi.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. That makes sense. Right, what else have we got? Anything, any late drama brewing? We're still a bit off that, but Kilmarnock, what an afternoon for them so far.
Yeah.
Cruising.
Yeah, terrific. You know, Seymour Vallecari promised rock and roll football last week. It didn't materialise, but he did get a win. The fans looking for extra tickets for Kilmarnock, they'll be sorry they turned up now. That's a really impressive result. And Bobby Wales, the subject of so much speculation, out of contract soon, still to commit either to Kilmarnock or to anybody else, but clearly one of, along with the Lennon Millers of this world and the Lyle Camerons, one of the important Scottish players in a league where Scottish players are dwindling in number. Bobby Wales is one of them. Young man of great potential.
I think the reason I like watching him and James Wilson so much, Gordon, is because we don't really produce strikers. You know, there are Lennon Miller and Lyle Cameron, as you said, but you know, it's very infrequent. It feels like that we get young Scottish teenagers who are leading the line for Scottish Premiership clubs.
Yeah, it's a very weird one, that. You know, you used to get, in the days gone by, you get strikers coming in, scoring goals and keeping their place. But clubs seem to go for big money if you're at the top, big money transfers, or English-based players that have come up, big, strong. And the players in Scotland don't get the opportunity. But
also,
if you get it, you've got to score
there's
goals.
There's a really simple arithmetical reason that teams used to play two strikers, now they play one, so you're 50% down on the, on the number of strikers going around.
I see slightly now, I don't know if you agree with that, a few teams are now starting to revert back to the two strikers.
But here you are, Daz, the king of the quizzes.
Yeah, go.
How many Scottish players were in Ross County's team at 3 o'clock today?
Well, for someone that doesn't listen to Fraser, I'm going to find that very hard to answer. So I'll just I'll take a guess and say none.
Correct. None.
Well, Mackenzie Kirk's now missed a sitter, 6 yards out and over the bar. He's another one, a young Scottish attacker who's having a good season, but his team are 3-0 down today. So, and he's gone and missed a sitter as well. So it doesn't look like there is any way back for St Johnstone. You just never know, I suppose, if they'd managed to nick one there, but not to be. And a good game at Capello. Morton 2, Airdrie 2 now. Jack Baird on 69 minutes.
Have they sorted the shed out down at Capello, Hugh? I know in the storm, they blew it away, didn't they? What's the shed called? Just a shed. It's called the shed, is it? Capello yeah. Shed. Well, it's famous for some, you know.
You started this conversation yourself.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I'm hoping somebody bails me out of this one, gives me the answer.
Did I tell you what happened in the storm? My horse.
Don't want to know.
My astroturf blew away.
The cow shed. Sorry, is what
the
you're looking for.
Cow shed. That's it, Gordy. Thank you.
My astroturf at the back garden. You know, in the high winds, and I'm standing looking at it, going, oof. I wonder what damage is going to be done to the plant pots. And next thing, the full astroturf. My back lifted up and almost got blown. I tried to move it myself. Couldn't move it. Had to get the guys to come out and
glued down suitably.
I was going to say, got a couple of dodgy people putting that astroturf down. Just stick a couple of bricks at each corner. Well, soon they'll no notice. And then we'll charge them a large amount.
They were very kind to come out and fix it.
Maswanisi on for Tom Sparrow. The Motherwell fans seem to like that change. They're maybe wondering why in such a big game and 2-0 down it takes so long to see Tawanda Maswanisi, but there we are, he is on now. And maybe looks more of a 4-4-2 as things stand. I think we're getting there on the podium now on that teaser. So I don't know if we gave clues or if people just got a bit of inspiration.
I think the last clue's
did we give a clue though?
No.
No, Hugh's right. Last clue. Multiple trophies.
Mm-hmm. During my time in Scotland.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Very good golfer.
Oh, come on now. How can Colin Montgomery be the answer to the teaser?
It could be it. Well, I'll tell you what, not far away with that one. Really?
No.
What do you mean?
What?
I'm sure that guy will not be happy with that comparison.
Same shape?
No, there's nothing like each other. That's a bizarre shout from you.
No.
That's bizarre.
Well, I'll take that one back.
One of the worst I've ever heard.
I know what you're thinking, but.
Uh-huh. Palmer holding with a good run to the edge of the box, but he probably should have passed to Simon Murray. Stuart firing a shot wide. He's made a huge difference for Falkirk. That one is poised. It is in the balance. It's 2-2. Edinburgh City are going to win the alternative Edinburgh derby. They're beating Spartans 3-0 by that guy that was on Love Island.
Love Island.
He scored.
He was great on Love Island.
Was he?
Been watching it?
No.
No,
I don't watch Love Island.
The All Stars was on.
Was he on this current?
No,
of course he's not, because he's just scored for Edinburgh City. I remember seeing him on it. What was great about him? I didn't think.
He was a Scottish player.
Didn't do very much, did he?
I'll watch a Spanish one.
Montoya.
Oh, that is in my head.
There's the reference you never thought you would get on Clyburn Super Scoreboard. Hale and Harmon have gone off. Ronan Hale's certainly done his job. Ashworth and Robertson on for the Staggies. Ronan Hale can't grumble.
Good player.
No.
Really good player. His goal, I always remember his goal at Tynecastle early in the season, was unbelievable. And he comes up with big goals, like I said, 25% of Ross County's goals scored by him. It's always a gamble signing players, you know, from he came from Ireland, didn't he? And you don't know how they're going to adapt to
the league. He was a goal machine there, wasn't he?
Yeah, but you never know how they're going to adapt to your game. But he certainly took it in his stride.
Anyway, Celtic just very much going. Quite going through the motions. It maybe sounds a bit harsh, but it's all very routine, Hugh. You get 2-0 up, and if there's ever a time in your schedule when you can afford to not have to really strain yourself, it would be when you're potentially 16 points clear and you're sandwiched in between two games against Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I think that's a competent professional performance from Celtic. They can now bring on the subs to give them a bit of legs, and they will go to the Allianz. I think they get a very generous press, Celtic. They did well. They fought extremely hard against Bayern Munich, but I thought for long, long periods of the game they were totally outplayed. I think they've got a very, very difficult night ahead on Tuesday.
So the double changes, Kuhn and Taylor on, Schlupp and Yang off. So if you're Dundee United, you know this is coming. You've done it many times, but it's not ideal to be 2-0 down and see Nicholas Kuhn coming on, who'll want to make a point, because he's still very much, I think, in Celtic's best front three, Gordon. But there is now that, there's that fourth option, if you like, and it's now not guaranteed for him or anyone else. So that's the way they should be looking at it.
If I was playing my strongest three, I would certainly involve him. I would play him, Maeda and Jota. I like Ada. I think he brings something different. I think he can get you goals. He's playing with a bit of confidence. I'd like to see him score this afternoon for him.
That's what I'm saying. There's a chance now. You know, if he doesn't bangs in a hat trick the following week, they'll want to keep Ada in. They might want to keep Maeda and Jota in as well. You know, there are options there.
Yeah, listen, of course, and that's what Brendan Rodgers wanted. He's wanted that all along. That's why he wanted another centre forward in the January window when Kyogo left. He wanted options. He wanted competition. He's got it in the middle of the park. He's got it in the back line. But I've got to say, I still think Kuhn would be a certain starter for me. And Maeda and obviously Jota, that's my strongest three.
Would you go with them?
100%. I would go with him. I just think that if you go with Ida in Munich and you let Bayern Munich build from the back, I think they've got too much quality. I think Celtic's best tactic is hopefully, like the panic the other night, they'd have kicked it long a few times. Carter Vickers can go and win it and Celtic try and pick up the second ball and go and play. I totally agree with you, Hugh. It's a massive ask, because first half, I don't think Celtic were put to the sword, but first half I thought they were excellent. Their movement was absolutely brilliant,
and yet Celtic almost got away with it. You know, it was only an unfortunate break of the ball that leads to the first goal for Bayern.
But that's where you've got to give credit to Celtic. I thought Celtic could have, and this is why I think they've been so good in Europe, and people say about learning, I think Celtic have learned, because you look at, they could have went to Atalanta, especially after the doing against Dortmund, and really froze. They defended brilliantly. They went to Villa 2-0 down, get back in it, showed great kit. Okay, they didn't win the game. They obviously the other night there, that tie could have been away from them, no doubt about it. They dug deep, and then near the end of the game,
they managed to rattle.
I thought they were excellent.
What else is doing? I can see the other Edinburgh derby is a bit of a whitewash. It's Edinburgh City 4, Spartans 0, Cove 3, Annan 1. So goals going in all around the place. We've had a very small lull in the Scottish Premiership. As we said, Celtic have pretty much done their job. It's going to take something special for Ross County to not win at Fir Park. They're 2-0 up.
The drama is at Falkirk, surely.
But also at Dens Park, because, you know, there's the scope there for a Dundee equaliser, and also scope for Aberdeen to seal the deal and get a third goal. But the only two places where there's an ongoing interest, Falkirk and Dundee.
I think if you're an Aberdeen player, those bad memories every week, conceding time and time again, when you're going into the last 15 minutes, looking at that clock, taking an awful long time to tick down. So that'll be a nervy end, I think, for those Aberdeen players. But I'll tell you a lot about them. If they can manage to get over the line, then I'm pretty sure that will be a corner turn for them.
You think so?
I think so. I think they need something like this, a gritty win that, you know, they have to dig in and just get the job done. Obviously, Jimmy Thielen would have liked an easy 3-0 victory, but it tells you an awful lot about your players if they manage to get the job done this afternoon in that environment.
Right, where are we? Another sub for Motherwell. 78 gone. Nicholson on for Slattery. Probably the last
throw the dice.
Clyde a level. Peterhead 2, Clyde 2. Ray Grant with the goal on 79.
Peter's boy
indeed. Dundee United put on Louis Molt for Sam Dalby a while ago, just to try and get something. Sam Dalby's been in great goal scoring form, obviously, this season, but doing it at Celtic Park tends to be a much harder task. He hasn't managed it. What can Louis Molt do?
Does Peter's other boy play at Stranraer as well? I think, because he scored today as well.
Yeah.
Which Matthew one? Grant.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Roger Hannah, someone will inform us.
Just when you said he scored there, I thought two brothers scoring.
Was Peter's other That's boy not
his
called
son.
Peter?
No, is that not his son?
Yeah, the other Peter doesn't play anymore, I don't think. Ah. He used to play with Falkirk and so on. Right, anyway. Kasper Schmeichel hasn't had much to do today, just collected a ball there and plays it out. Interesting, just the order of the subs. So Ida stays on, mm-hmm. Jota comes off.
Yeah,
telling you everything you need to know.
Is it about 100? Like that, a nod to
you got Tuesday? It here first. It's
I mean, about 10,000 people have said it.
No, they haven't.
Over the last couple of days, I don't think it's just you.
Well, what was interesting about midweek? Remember, Maeda just played 3 games on the bounce because he was suspended.
Yeah,
nobody saw that coming at all. The appeal, even Brendan Rodgers probably.
I just admit, I think maybe because it's just a bit more unfamiliar to us, I didn't really know how it worked. I know that you can, I'm used to the timing of how appeals go in Scotland and when they do and for what and so on, but it's kind of weird timing, I thought, of how you hear back so close to the game itself.
I think it was quite clever on Celtic's part not to say we are going to appeal, because then you get everyone's hopes built up, and if the appeal is thrown out, deflation that close to the tie. But do it, say nothing, and then when you win it, look, Maeda can play.
I actually was surprised that there was so little said about it. I think because the story that night was Celtic securing their playoff spot, so do you know there wasn't the same analysis of the incident.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, I think there would have been, because I know you could still clearly argue there is a bit of a kick out, but I certainly felt it was much more debatable than the way we treated it, because no one really debated it. It just kind of went, oh well, move on, and Celtic go through.
And then it was apparently the use of the word assault in the referee's report that allowed Celtic's legal team to say, assault, really? And the UEFA have had a look and decided that's not assault.
Yeah, because they were both kind of nibbling away at each other, weren't they? If you then run the VAR from the moment that only Maeda sort of, you know, kicks out at the end, it definitely looks like a red, no doubt about it. I think if you took that full incident, harsh.
Yeah. I thought at the time, I did say that, but I think you're right, Gordon. Nobody really batted an eyelid. It was only when you then start thinking, right, there's another game upcoming here, and you're losing such an influential player.
I think there are so many games that you automatically take your eye off it, because no sooner is the young boys' game over and done with than Celtic have some pressing league match to play, and then there's another European tie, and then another league match, and you simply get caught up, and it dawns on no one to say, did Celtic not appeal that?
Garza on for Larkesh has done the look for the equaliser at home to Aberdeen. Is that the one you're looking at for a bit of a nervy finish, Hugh?
Well, I'm not there and I don't know how nervy Aberdeen are looking, but it certainly got the scope for belated development. Likewise at the Falkirk Stadium, 2-1, 2-2 rather. The scope there for both teams. I just happen to think that Falkirk...
You think Falkirk will get the goal?
I think...
Remember, there's no VAR there, so there's only...
And I think Arfield scores the winner.
Let's go for a sort of 5-minute warning on the teaser, please, Hugh.
I have played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. I have been managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. I've played in 4 leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland. Who am I?
It's a really good question, this. Scott McDougall thought Brian McClair.
No.
Jamie Dock thought Stephen Presley.
Nope.
Kyle thought Craig Burley.
Nope.
So many different answers. Loads of people thought Craig Burley, incidentally. A few Brian McClair shouts. Danielle Lynn thought Kenny Miller.
Well,
James McGrory would like to suggest Michael Stewart.
No.
Okay, keep those guesses coming then.
Don't think Michael won multiple trophies somehow.
I think Johnny Kenny is going to get some game time, presumably for Adam Ida. He's readying himself, Mark.
Yeah, well, you're not going to put him on now.
Well, if it's Adam Ida going off. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Something to remember me by, a lovely curling strike from Adam Ida. It's a great goal from him. I don't know if he is about to be withdrawn. I suspect he is, but he's done his bit just before he goes. Celtic 3, Dundee United 0.
Well, you know, Ida lives in the shadow of Maeda and all the rest. He lived in the shadow of Kyogo while he was there. But he is capable of coming up with those terrific strikes out of the blue, and he's done it today again.
He is up to 13 for the season.
Yeah,
he must have been listening, Hugh. I said he needs a goal this afternoon. Yeah, he'll get a goal. Yeah. I like Ida. I think he just brings something different to Celtic. I really do. And he went through a spell there when he was getting a lot of criticism from the. In fact, people were on this phone in saying the young lad Johnny Kenny should be in front of him.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, what? Surely you don't.
VAR check on it.
All right, okay. Just get Kenny on.
Just you wait. There's a possible foul in the build up, so somewhere in the attacking phase of play.
It had to come somewhere. I said to you earlier on, yeah, all these goals forward. Getting scored and no VAR checks, and now we've found one.
Yeah, it's been all pretty straightforward on that front today. Goal given, as you were.
Yeah, and then he pops up with two goals down at Villa, and all of a sudden you just see the confidence oozing out of him. The other night there, he gets picked to start a game against Bayern Munich. I don't think he will start a game over there, but I think Ida is a real good signing for Celtic.
Fell for him a wee bit the other night because in the first half Celtic had, what was that, one touch in Bayern's box in the first period, so never really getting involved, didn't have much to do, and then obviously goes off and it looks better and everybody's, you know, Maeda's your man. But Ida, like Daz is saying, is going through a good patch just now. Good goal scoring form. That's another one today. That's all you can do if you're a striker. Get your goal, get up the road.
Yeah, and it's such a straightforward job for Celtic, Gordon. Take all the arguments, and in fact they're more than arguments, it's just abundantly clear with the budgets and the players at their disposal and all that stuff. But Celtic can do this. They can be in second gear and just win 3 and 4 nil.
Yeah, and they've changed. They've had a few changes today. I can't remember exactly how many at the beginning of the game, Gordon. They've mixed it up. They've gave players some game time. They've been comforted. This is against a team that's third in our Premier League. They've caused Celtic absolutely no problems at all. Brendan Rodgers will be absolutely delighted. Really will, going into Tuesday night's game in Germany.
I think that's why the Rangers fans feel a sense of despair. As you said, Gordon, Celtic can do no wrong, bring on players. Cost the club a record transfer fee in Engels, and Ida gets his goal, £9 million, and the Rangers fans feel that sense of despair that they can't see their club catching up any time soon.
It won't be Scott Arfield getting the winner if it comes, because Aidan Nisbet has replaced him. So I suppose it is an ask for a 36-year-old who's not played much since Boxing Day to come here and keep playing all the time. But 39-year-old of that, Alan Troughton, has no such issues. I mention it every week.
She scored again.
I bet he's sick of me mentioning his age. But yep, 85 minutes gone, East 5-1, Bonnie Rigg Rose 1. A sensational season he's having in front of goal. It's a properly wonderful strike, this, from Adam Ida, when Roger Hanna and potentially Andy Halliday, unless his new manager comes in and cracks the whip at the start of the week, when they pick their goal of the weekend on Monday, it might be hard to look beyond that goal from Adam Ida.
Not a bad finish. A guy that I think has got everything in his locker in terms of different goals. He can get the headers in there, he's good at that. But I tell you what, he takes that on his right foot and he curls up beyond the goalkeeper. Absolutely no chance. Great finish. Great way to finish your day. Nothing better than a striker scoring the goal and you see your number getting held up. Wonderful.
You would have loved that.
Absolutely.
That is
wonderful.
You're 30 seconds away, Mark, from this. Probably feeling like quite a, not a disappointing day because Celtic were still going to win the game, but you know, he probably personally would have felt quite deflated.
Because that's what you're judged on as a striker. You know, it doesn't matter how good your link-up play is and all the other parts. If that's another game goes by and he's not scored at home, you're right, people say he didn't score again. But there you are.
Got another one of these. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Ross County 3-0 at Fir Park. The fans are heading for the exits. That is a stinker for Motherwell, Gordon DL.
Yes, massive. I think they took a little bit of a gamble to try and get the right manager in. We'll have to see if that is the case, because that was a big game. I thought when obviously Kettlewell left, I know that they sprung it on him. He sprung it on them. I thought they'd have tried to move quickly, get the man in, give him a right few days, because at home, with the Motherwell backing against Ross County, it'd have been a great way, great start to up and running, get 3 points, make the club feel good again. They've waited, they've taken the gamble. I totally understand it, I'm not against it, but it's backfired big time on them.
To be fair though, I mean, that there's more to it than that as well, isn't there? Just if you had a new manager and you might not do any better. today?
Well, if you'd have got, they had 2 weeks, didn't they? If they'd have got him in after a week, it gives them 4 or 5 days on the training ground.
They weren't winning with the previous manager towards the end either.
Yeah, but he could have changed things. Gone. You've seen the new manager's bounce before. He could have tweaked that to a four. I'm not saying a back four with a guaranteed one. I'm not saying that. But he could have went to a four. He could have changed personnel. He could have changed. We've seen it a million times when new managers walking in. Players got a lift thinking, right, okay, I wasn't, you know, playing every week under the old manager. This is a great opportunity to show the new one. All of a sudden, there's a little bit of a different feel about the club. They've weighed it and they've paid the price.
It's Conor Randall with the goal. 25 yards out, it's a low shot into the corner. It's by no means been a brilliant second half performance from Motherwell, Mark, but it just shows you when you get yourself in that type of scenario and you're 2-0 down, they probably have had the better of the second half. You're pushing, you're looking for a goal, and rather than you getting it, it goes from you having some sort of hope that you can get back into it in one strike from outside the box. It goes from that into like a pretty disastrous afternoon.
Oh, without doubt. When it goes 3-0 at home, that is a disastrous afternoon. Look, they need to act quickly, I think, Motherwell, just for the certainty of the players and going forward, because you're starting to look down the table now. There was a period that everything was rosy and, you know, cup football was still there, semi-final at Hampden, and then all of a sudden you're looking towards the bottom of the table, and Ross County is the opposite. They're now looking up. Dunkowie, another fantastic result away from home.
See if you're Motherwell right now, Gordon. Who are you confident that you're better than?
Right now, nobody. St Johnston, hold on. Well, St Johnston beat them twice in a row
in the last couple of weeks.
You're looking down that league. Hearts are certainly going to rise. We know what you get with St Mirren.
Not better than Hearts, not in a million years.
You know what you're getting with St Mirren. Kilmarnock have showed today they're capable. Dundee maybe, and a slight, you know, head to head. But I would see Ross County. We're talking about Motherwell. Well done, Ross County. I think their supporters must love supporting Ross County, because you never know what you're going to get. 1 week they're dreadful, next week I don't know what it was today. I had a feeling that Ross County could go to Fir Park and get a result, and they've certainly achieved that, and you've got to give them that. But you're right, Gordon, it's a big job whoever comes in. They've got to lift the full club. It needs lifted now. It needs something different in there. And I'm certain that the new manager will be probably watching on just now somehow and be thinking, ooh, I've got a big job in my hands.
Unless he changes his mind. Let's round this off, Hugh Keevans.
Yep.
The second half teaser.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
I have played alongside Jim Leighton, Danny Welbeck and Stevie May. I have been managed by Roy Hodgson and Craig Brown. I've played in 4 leagues across the UK and won multiple trophies during my time in Scotland. Who am I? I am the guy who shocked the world last Sunday, Callum Davidson.
Callum Davidson, well done if you got it right, and we eventually got there. It was a slow start that tricked you, but a few of you whooped in at the end. Joe Moore was in 3rd place, Matondo Prop in 2nd, and Scott Connie is the winner of the second half teaser. Well done to you all. We've got another one of these to tell you about. Yes, and it is a consolation, you would have to say, for St Johnston. Graham Carey with a low finish, but it does make it Kilmarnock 3, St Johnston 1. You're not anticipating anything manic there, are you?
No, it's suspect. Too little too late. Consolation only.
No rock and roll stuff this afternoon.
No, not being the King's Arms tonight.
No rock and roll. It's going about James Blunt.
You're not begging carried
hey,
around
the James
Kings.
Blunt.
Did you enjoy James Blunt
loved
last
it.
Night?
I love James Blunt. Oh.
How right. many of his songs do you know?
Oh, them all.
Seriously?
Ah, everyone.
Right, give us two.
Two?
Apart from You're Beautiful.
1973.
See, that's the only two I would know.
Right.
What about... well, he played all his album.
Again. What's, you're not
what about Wise
you?
Men?
Nah.
The only food Russian...
That's Elvis.
That's Elvis.
Ah, there's loads.
He can say anything,
right,
can
he? Hi.
Oh yeah, I think I might
you're
know
beautiful.
That one.
I'm coming home.
Wise man. Coming home is one.
Is it?
Aye.
I just made that up.
They play James Blunt in Starbucks, do they?
Oh, you like
that's right. You went to Starbucks for the first time this week.
My Tesco delivery man yesterday brought it up just as a parting shot. Right, there you go. Sign this. Thank you. Oh, by the way, Hugh Keevan's seriously never been to Starbucks. Says it's remarkable.
The answer to that is no, not until Wednesday.
So you've not been back yet. Right, we've got full time. We said it was going to be a tight one, a big game in the Championship. It turned out to be that way. Roger Hannah.
It certainly did. Falkirk 2, Ayr United 2. It's as you were at the top of the Championship. Falkirk stay in pole position after coming from 2-0 down to earn a point. Scott Arfield, the goal hero again, an equaliser that made it 4 goals in 2 games since his return to a blue jersey. Liam Henderson kick-started the comeback with a header on the half-time whistle after Ayr's 3 scoring forwards, Jay Henderson and George Oakley, had put the honest men into control. They were in the lead in 14 minutes. Referee Steve McLean pointing to the spot after a push on Scott McMahon inside the box. Henderson missed his last spot kick at Hamilton a fortnight ago, but he used power and smashed the penalty pass goalkeeper Nicky Hogarth for his 7th goal of the season. It was 2-0 after 38 minutes. A great break. Cole McKinnon stealing possession in midfield. Captain Ben Dempsey surging forward to release Conor McLennan. His angle drive came back off the inside of a post, but Oakley was the most alert to knock it over the line and into the empty net. He could have made it 3 just moments later, but just off target with an angle drive, and that allowed Falkirk back into the game. They reduced their ears in the stroke of half time. Calvin Miller's deep corner from the right met it at the back post by Liam Henderson. Their goalkeeper Harry Stone got a weak hand to it, but just couldn't keep it out. Falkirk sent on Barney Stewart for Gary Oliver at half time. What a difference that made to them in the second half. Stewart played a huge role in the equaliser in 62 minutes, bursting clear a shot that Stone spilled right at the feet of Arfield, who knocked it home for 2-2. The goalkeeper again having to do better. He had complained of a foul by Stewart in the build up, but just looked as if he wanted the ball more. Ayr's response was good. McLennan with a good shot saved by Falkirk goalkeeper Hogarth, and then Stewart, who was outstanding in the second half, a former Heriot Watt uni striker plucked from the lower leagues by John McGlynn last October. He was booked for a high arm and McMahon as he tried to burst forward again. Ayr back in the front foot, but then at the other end there was a Stone save from Calvin Miller. Ayr then in a penalty claim substitute Marco Roos going down in the box. Referee McLean this time not moved. Ayr a couple of corners as the game went into 5 minutes of stoppage time, but they just couldn't get back ahead. 12 games to go in this Championship run in. It's going to be a thriller. Falkirk 2, Ayr United 2.
One of the results of the day for Park, Fraser Wishart.
Yeah, Motherwell 0, Ross County 3. A few boos at the end, and that's only a few because there's hardly anybody left in the stadium. I know the story will be about Motherwell, but what an excellent performance by Ross County. Before the game in Boxing Day, they're playing at Dens Park. They hadn't won an away game since September 23. They've now won 4 out of the last 5. That only defeat coming at Ibrox, and they deserved it thoroughly today. A goal in either half by Ronan Hale and a late one by Conor Randall being the winners. The goal came, and the first goal came in the 32nd minute. The ball broke to Ronan Hale inside the box. Really good touch, took it away from a defender, and he smashed the ball through the left foot past Balkan. A really good finish. One of those closest came before that. Clever turn by Tony Watt. Space in the box. He struck his left foot shot well across a seamer, but the ball hit inside the post and he bounded into the arms of the goalkeeper. It was a real struggle for the home side in the first half. The pattern of the game remained the same in the second half. Mother with the ball, but very few chances. 56 minutes. Liam Gordon headed a Thompson corner back across goal. Armstrong threw himself at it a couple of yards out. Brilliant clearance by Harmon to clear the ball away, and that was absolutely vital because the game swung to the other end of the park and it was 2-0 to County. A lovely move from the back. Tomkinson drove forward, fed Chilvers, who put a lovely pass to put Ronan Hale in on goal, and a really good finish by the Northern Irish striker low to Balcombe's right. And as soon as the ball hit the net, loud boos from every part of the ground except for the small band of County fans, and it was sustained booing until the game kicked off again. They almost pulled one back when a lovely Lennon Miller crossed the back post. Luke Plunge, really good contact on the ball, a brilliant save, Lotie's left by Asima, and the ball was scrambled away, and then the big goalkeeper denied Plunge again a couple minutes later, this time diving high to his left to push the ball over the bar from a Plunge header. Slattery, a couple of efforts from distance, it dipped over, but to rub salt in the Motherwell wounds, in the 89th minute, County got their third. Captain Conor Randall drilled a low 25-yard shot into the right-hand corner of the net, and that really shakes things up at the bottom. County now just 2 points behind Motherwell. They're now looking down the way. They'll be eighth tomorrow, no matter what happens in the St Mirren Hearts game, and 5 defeats in a row, 1 win in 11. I think the few fans that were here will want a manager in as soon as is possible. Full-time at Fir Park, Motherwell 0, Ross County 3.
What a result that is, Motherwell fans. How worried are you? You look at that league table now, it's not looking so pretty. 01419511025. We've got other full-time whistles that have gone. I think David Friel was next up. David.
Yeah, full time. Gordon Kilmarnock 3, St Johnstone 1. Kelly into the top 6. Outstanding display. It was a total cruise past St Johnstone in the end. Liam Polworth, Fraser Murray, Bobby Walesy all had their own goal of the weekend competition. 3-0 didn't flatter Kilmarnock. I think Derek McInnes will now be challenging these players to stay in that top 6. Bad day for St Johnstone. They're now 6 adrift at the bottom of the table. Kelly, as I said, they were outstanding at it from the start and they took the lead in 9 minutes. Liam Polworth stole the ball off Elliot Watt, played a 1-2 with Wales, and then dinked Andy Fisher with a superb finish. Marley Watkins hit the bar before the break. Kelly looking to kill the game off early. St Johnstone did improve for a spell after half time, but the home side upped it again. Kyle McGuinness won a free kick 30 yards out. Fraser Murray sent a perfect curling shot into the corner. The winger's outstanding, really deserved that moment, but there's still more to come from Kelly, with Wales grabbing his third goal in 4 games. Lewis Mayo's long ball from the back wasn't an easy one to control, but he pulled it out the sky, burst free in the box, and then found the bottom corner. It was a brilliant goal from the teenager, and that did kill off St Johnstone's slim hopes. Graham Carey grabbed a late consolation, but the St Johnstone fans, who asked for the extra tickets just hours before the game, must have wished they'd gone to see Bridget Jones instead. Full time, Kilmarnock 3, St Johnstone 1.
Good win for Kilmarnock. What about the big one at Dens Park, Dave Galloway?
It finished Dundee 1, Aberdeen 2, Gordon. And after their first league win in 15 matches, Aberdeen remarkably climbed back up to third place. However, Dundee slipped down to second bottom. The home side with much the better start, Doohan saving Murray's low drive and Mulligan's effort from the edge of the box after a powerful run forward. Larkesh went close with a shot into the side netting, but Aberdeen started to come into things. Palloversa found Keskinen, who could only shoot weakly at McCracken. The Dons went ahead though on 29 minutes. Ockle's ball into the box. Tober's shot wasn't dealt with by McCracken, and Nisbet pounced to shoot high into the net. Ockles went close to making it 2-0, but his low drive was brilliantly parried by McCracken. Dundee really piled on the pressure. It was frantic stuff. Aberdeen getting bodies in the way. McGee eventually sent a half volley just wide. Aberdeen doubled their lead after 52 minutes with a magnificent goal by Keskinen, who sent a curling, dipping 25-yarder into the top corner. But just 2 minutes later, Dundee pulled one back. However, really poor defending from the Dons. A good run by Mulligan, and his cross was converted by close range by Palmer Holden. Devlin wasn't far away from the visitors with a long range drive flashing wide. Play raging from end to end as both sides had a right goal. Palmer Holden shot wide from the edge of the box after a good run when passing to Murray was a better option, and homekeeper McCracken made a wonderful save to keep out Tober's header from a really good Palloversa cross. Robertson looked set to shoot Dundee level, but his drive was somehow deflected past the post. Exciting stuff here today. The Dons stood firm to get that all-important win, sparking big celebrations in the away end, as you can hear in the background. It's finished Dundee 1, Aberdeen 2.
Huge win. Aberdeen are back third place as we head into Saturday evening, because Dundee United had this happen to them at Celtic Park. Gabriel?
Full time, and it's Celtic 3, Dundee United 0. Brendan Rodgers' side 16 points clear at the top. First half goals from Callum McGregor and Jota, putting them in total control, with Adam Eder adding one with a cracking strike towards the end of the game. It was the captain who got the champions up and running in the 23rd minute. Lovely footwork from McGregor, tidy near post finish after entering the box. Heading towards his best ever goal scoring season, he's on 8 already. Jota got his goal about 12 minutes later. He'd been bright all afternoon, named player of the match, his usual trickery and pace coming from out wide. He cut inside, trademark strike. You saw so many times in his first spell here, dribbling almost alongside the edge of the box after cutting in, and he just curled the ball inside the far post. And that was Celtic, Gordon, in cruise control there. Jeff Schlupp had a great strike that smacked the post from 20 yards when it looked like he was set to score his first Celtic goal. Rodgers made changes as expected after the hour mark, and Adam Eder eventually got a great goal late on. He had a few decent half chances in the first 45, but he did get his goal here, taking on the half volley, curled into the far top corner, and he was substituted shortly after. Greg Taylor also forced a great late save from Walton in the United goal. Austin Trusty nearly made it 4 in stoppage time, but it was job done for Celtic. United offered nothing going forward. They dropped a 4th for the first time in a month or two. Celtic 16 points clear at the top of the table. They will look to wrap this league title up as quickly as possible, and it was an ideal warm-up for Munich on Tuesday, that huge second leg in the Champions League. Full-time here, Celtic 3, Dundee United 0.
Now it's over to you, 01419511025. Celtic fans, how does it feel to be 16 points clear? How did today set you up for Munich? You look at the players that were played and rested and who came off and who came on. Did that give you any clues about Munich? How do you feel heading into that one now? And what about being 16 points clear at the top? Give us a call right now if you can. If we're on the lookout for frustrated, angry fans this evening, I'm looking at you, Motherwell and Partick Thistle fans. Motherwell, a 3-0 home defeat to Ross County. No manager, dropping down the table. How do you feel this evening? And Partick Thistle, it was bad last week and it's got worse today, so do give us a call there. Aberdeen fans, come on, you've waited months to try and get a win in the league. Now it's come around, so why not give us a shout? And Rangers fans, how are you feeling after the week that we've had heading into the game at Tynecastle tomorrow? 0141 951 1025, and we'll take your calls next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
It's this time of the week that this show was made for. Your team has played or is about to play, and you get to tell us everything that's on your mind, whether it is good, bad or somewhere in the middle. Give us a call please, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, you're 16 points clear. You're heading to Munich. You managed to rotate the squad a bit today, so how do you feel about it all? Give us a shout. Craig is first through though. He's a Motherwell fan and not a happy one, I would imagine, Craig.
Hiya guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. How bad was it?
Pretty awful, to be honest. It's quite a brutal watch. Quite dour. I survived to the third goal, and the third goal I left.
What annoyed you in particular today then? Because there's obviously a lot going on here, where previous manager leaves, no replacement yet, poor performance and result today.
I'd like to talk about some of the players. The goalkeeper, Eli Balcombe, sure that's his name, he's just arrived in from Brentford as a St Mirren the last 6 months. I've never really seen much of him at St Mirren, but I want to know what he was like, because I don't think he could catch a ball today. Numerous balls he dropped, I think he fully caught one. I'd like to talk about why modern fullbacks don't move up the pitch when there's 30 yards in front of them. New left back Dom Thompson was in today, and a couple looks at the John Hunter stand asking why they were shouting at him when there was about 30 yards space in front of him. And I want to know why Tony Watt keeps starting when there's no pace in him, and they've got young Tawanda Malanhisi on the bench. He came on today and you could feel that it moved a bit up top, but just not where it needed to be compared to where Tony Watt was playing.
I knew there would be a point about Malanhisi, Gordon, and I totally respect if Stuart Kettlewell was listening, he'd tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, or Stevie Frail, but on the most basic level, it feels like if you're Motherwell, you know you don't have the finished article, you know you don't have the perfect player, you know you don't have these guys that are going to perform every week, but it feels like in Malanhisi it's someone you should probably just take the rough with the smooth, because he's the only one with pace really, and he's the only one that can unlock things, and he's shown what he's capable of. Are you surprised he played so little today?
Massively surprised. I know that obviously Stephen Friel's had a hard job. He's had to get in there and lift the players after the departure of Kettlewell. But you got to play your best players with pace. And especially against Ross County, you're at home as well. The lad can get a goal for you. He's got a good touch. He can stretch defenders. I don't know if it's just inside Fir Park, and they're entitled to their opinion because they work with him every day with the squad. They must think he's an impact player. I know what you're saying, Gordon. There are times when you look at him, he frustrates you a little bit. But he's got that sort of a spark about him that he can change a game for you. He can get you up the park. He can get you a goal. And also, what I can't believe is, if something ain't working for you, and Motherwell's back three with the two wing backs ain't working, they've not got the players to play it now, right? It's not working.
To be fair,
change it.
But do they have width Do they have width elsewhere to play a back four either?
No, but you can go into a diamond, you can do certain things.
That's what
things.
I mean, where does the width come from?
Well, your fullbacks can give you them.
If they're not doing it from a wing-back position, yeah, what are the chances that they're going to be capable?
But I don't think you just stick with the same format.
No, sure, I do get that, but what I mean is, it's clearly a group that's been recruited to play that system, isn't it?
Well, I think with the fact that you've, and I know your argument's got to be, well, they've got injury, they've got 33 players in their staff.
I'm all the more interested now in the appointment of the new manager, because Motherwell's situation is abject. They have lost 5 games in a row, one of them a Scottish Cup tie, 4 league games in a row. They are slipping down the league table. We can focus on various individuals, as Craig has attempted to do, but the new manager is going to have to be of a high calibre and possessed of personality. Because if ever I looked at a club who needed a massive lift, it's Motherwell. Because I think 3-0 at home to Ross County is an embarrassment.
Craig, you mentioned the goalkeeper. I mean, I think St Mirren fans can tell you he was a pretty good shot stopper in the first half of the season. Don't think he was perfect, but was he wasn't at fault for any of the goals today, was he? Was it just more of a kind of general uncertainty that came from him dropping quite a lot of stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I'd leave the goals probably up to the defence today. I just felt it was all sloppy. There was no communication, especially the fullback. They just went pushing forward, but a couple of wee scary points when the ball came to him, because I didn't really like it at all. I know we've had goalkeeper injury problems as well, and we've had about 3 or 4 goalkeepers played this season, but I think we need to pick a certain goalkeeper when they're all back from injury and play him for the rest of the season.
Well, it's going to be Ellery Balcom, yeah, because Archie Mayer's injured and Aston Oxborough's injured and Balcom was brought in. Like, on paper, he should be solid enough.
You'd say so.
He played for St Mirren early in the season, and to be fair, Craig's then has then gone on to acknowledge that he wasn't at fault for any of the goals today. Each looked a wee bit ropey.
Yeah, I think it's the least of Motherwell's problems just now. The goalkeeper, I get that they've had problems all season. And your favourite kind of go-to saying, if the team's done that bottom end or in relegation, always get a goalie that's not been pulling up any trees throughout the season. But I think with Balcom, you've a safe enough pair of hands. It's the system and just the defending. If you're getting beat 3-0 at home to Ross County, you know where the issues lie. It's hitting you right in the face. So new manager will sort that.
Craig, how do you feel about the fact there is no manager? Can the new guy, whoever he is, come in and make a difference? Who do you want it to be?
I hope so, but I don't like how there's just silence from the club. There's been nothing said about new managers coming in. I mean, last week we're posting videos of players taking penalties, and the goalkeeper injuries were that bad. One of the defenders was in goals for the penalties. But I was also looking through the odds in the last week, and I couldn't see any updates to the odds getting changed either in the past weeks, and I've had nothing on Twitter either about new managers coming in. So I wanted to know from yous who the favourites are.
Genuinely, right? And because I'm not saying I would pretend to always know. That's not what I'm saying. Uh-huh. It has been one of the quietest searches I've ever experienced, because something always gets out somewhere. Agents will talk, or board members will talk to someone who passes it, and you hear rumours and you hear whispers and so on. And by the way, fine, that's Motherwell's prerogative, and they're probably quite proud of how they've managed to keep it in-house, because clubs always do. But when it goes on this length of time, Hugh, it's understandable. Fans just want something to try and cling on to.
Yeah, sometimes speculation can be unsettling, because you get all manner of names, and then you get supporters falling out about names that you don't know whether they're actually in the frame or not.
And they're unhappy with the guy before he's even been appointed and so on.
So Motherwell are in a dangerous position. As I say, their situation is abject. They're losing game after game after game, league and cup. The fans are unhappy. The players are unhappy with the fans after the Stuart Kettlewell business. They need someone of charisma to come in here, because the job that has to be done is becoming harder and harder by the game.
Craig, when you look at that run that Motherwell are on, 5 defeats in a row, one of them in the cup, a draw before that. In fact, it's only one win in the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What is it, 10, something like that? How worried are you about the picture? Because people just keep looking at league position at the moment, but the truth of the matter is Motherwell are not far away from that playoff spot.
Yeah, I'm really worried. When everyone did keep saying, Kettlewell left and we're fifth, everyone's like, you're fifth, you're about to get Europe, but we're only 6 points off 11th. So that wasn't looking too good, the fact that two losses and we could be down there. Do you think it's going to go that way from two losses? So,
yep. Well, you're 4 points off it now.
Four points.
And your next game's at Tannadice. So,
I mean, to be fair, done well against Dundee United this season, but going into it with absolutely no form whatsoever. Yeah,
no, next three games, Dundee United away, Dundee at home and Rangers away. So how many points you got to pick up in that run? So I think there's worrying times for Motherwell. They need a man. I totally agree with you. I think they need a real strong manager in there to just take a grip of the club and take it forward.
Okay, thank you very much to Craig, who's an unhappy Motherwell fan. From one unhappy local team to another, let's bring in Brian, who's a Partick Thistle fan. Brian,
how are you doing?
Good. I'd imagine not so good for you today.
Well, it's never good being a Thistle fan, but I've been on before. I'm a Chris Doohan supporter, a Brian Graham supporter, but I think now it's time we had a change. I think it's time for Doohan to step down. Brian Graham as a manager, I wouldn't have. Stuart Tettle, he's floating about. I think it's about time Thistle thought, get a new manager in, give him to the end of the season, see what he thinks, and maybe give him a year's contract, see if he can change it again. But doing, for us, playing for the playoffs every season is no good enough. We should be going to win it.
See, now that that's unlikely to happen though, Brian, I mean, is there a case to say that you just try and get in the playoffs, which you possibly still will, and just take it from there? Is that not good enough for you?
No, it's been the playoffs for the last 3-4 seasons. Dylan was one of our best players ever, but he's just no managerial material. I think he's had his chance. I think it's time to get rid of him, and I am a Chris Dylan supporter.
What a way to link those two calls. It was a Motherwell fan, and now Brian's on Partick Thistle, and he wants Stuart Kettlewell to replace Chris Doolan, who's not left his post. So Mark, I think a very difficult one for you when it gets to that person. I'm not going to ask you if Partick Thistle should sack their manager for obvious awkward professional reasons, but how sticky a spot are they in at the moment? A 3-0 defeat to Raith today.
Yeah, that's been the problem. Those teams, you know, up above them the table, and Raith just behind them, struggled against them this season in the head to heads. And you look at Raith, two games in hand and 6 points behind Thistle. That is a problem, because when the playoff spots become in jeopardy, then you can understand why Brian and some fans are unhappy at that. But look, Chris has made some signings as well in January, and look, I'm not making any excuses, but sometimes they just take a wee bit of time to settle into the club. But it's still within their grasp. No doubt the fans would have been optimistic about this season in terms of winning the championship. I think everybody can agree that that's a far way off. But the playoffs is a must, and it's
two massive
in the
games,
balance.
Mark. Two home games. I'll test the character of the manager, assistant manager, players, everyone involved. Look, Partick are a big, big club. They're a sleeping giant for me. See if somebody goes into Partick and gets them going, gets them up that league. They have got a terrific support. They're a good club. I think that Partick getting into that Premier League would be a great addition, but they've got to get there first and foremost. I think the fans are slowly, because of what Chris achieved as a player, and quite rightly so, he deserves all the credit for that. He's now the manager. He's come in for a bit of criticism. Two home games. Adrian Levy, if he lost day two, I don't think he'd be in his job.
They're at a crossroads, because Brian on the line says he's fed up with playoff places. He'll be even more fed up if they're not in the playoff places, and they cannot assume that they are there yet, because games left are still in double figures, and Partick Thistle have gone into that kind of slump that Motherwell are suffering from, and it really does have to pick up very, very quickly, or the club will have to contemplate change before they fall out of the playoff places and don't even have that dream of going up via the playoffs.
Okay, thank you to Brian. What about the top end of the Premiership table? Celtic fans, 16 points clear in between two games against Bayern Munich. Give us all your thoughts on today, please. We'll take them next.
0141 951 1025 Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans. What more could you want from your Saturday evening? As we look back on today's football, look ahead to tomorrow. What a day we have in store with Hearts hosting Rangers. Let's reflect on Celtic going 16 points clear at the top though. Laurie is in Carntyne. How pleasing was that today, Laurie?
Well, first and foremost, Gordon, thank you for allowing me to take part in the programme this afternoon.
A pleasure.
I'll tell you how impressive it was, Gordon. I was just saying to the producer there when I phoned up at first, I think that this present Celtic side is the best Celtic team since Martin O'Neill's debut season at the start of the millennium. That's how good they are. And that was a very impressive team. The goals coming from everywhere. It's just perpetual motion. There's a great chemistry. Two players for every position. There at the start of the game, there, I actually had to leave early today because I had a couple of things to attend to. But I saw the two first half goals, Gordon. Both superbly executed. They could have been more than two at the interval. Just incredible. Fantastic. I run out of superlatives, to be quite honest with you.
The thing is, Hugh, we could... It's not meant to split hairs. I'm sure some people would say, I mean, some of the football Ange Postecoglou's team played, even Brendan Rodgers' first time, let's not forget, it was an invincible treble. So I don't think we need to argue whether Laurie's right or wrong, but it's a high praise that it's even in the same bracket that he feels it's at that sort of Martin O'Neill, or the best football since Martin O'Neill's level at the moment.
Well, Laurie's talking about a team that had Henrik Larsson, say no more, Chris Sutton, John Hartson, Stan Petrov, Alan Thompson. It was just a tremendous team. The manner of Celtic's victory today, very impressive. Total domination of the game, domination of the ball. To be 16 points clear says it all. At one and the same time, Celtic are far too good for everybody in the league, and at the same time, standards have dropped at clubs throughout the league. But that's not Brendan Rodgers' fault. I think that going into the Allianz Arena on Tuesday, they will go there, and I agree with Gordon Dalziel, we'll see Kun, Maeda, Jota. But my concern for Celtic, as Brendan Rodgers himself said yesterday, Bayern Munich up top have world stars. I think Celtic's obligation on Tuesday, I know that they are theoretically keeping the tie alive, but I think Celtic's obligation on Tuesday is to keep their reputation intact. I do not see Celtic remaining in the tie. I think they have to be careful that they are not given a serious going over by Vincent Kompany's team.
Mark, I'm always cautious not to go too far with these, because I think if you're like a Dundee United fan, as an example, you'd say, yeah, you're supposed to beat us in that fashion, because look at what you've got, look at what we've got. Having said that, you also don't want to take anything away from Celtic. Are they really at the kind of top level of what they're all about at the moment? You know, of course they're ahead of everyone else, but Laurie's talking about going back to Martin O'Neill as an example.
I think so. I think they're pretty much, you know, at the top of their game at the minute. I think when you take into consideration as well the European results and progressing with this new format into these playoff legs, against the real top teams in Europe, I think it's been impressive as well. There is so much to like about how Celtic play. And Brendan Rodgers had to come in, remember, and take over from Postecoglou, and people were criticising last year how the team was playing, and it was boring, and all this, and it was slow build-up play. And Brendan Rodgers, by the way, has had a few wee pops this season at that. They've certainly not been slow or pedestrian this season. They've been electric, and you add Jota into the mix, and that makes him even better. So, Laurie, I think spot on. I'm trying to remember back some of the great teams that Celtic have had in that period, but I think it'd be pretty much close to one of the best.
I think maybe that is the credit, Gordon, because other teams haven't suddenly decided to roll over. Teams have always come to Celtic Park and sat in and tried to make life difficult for them. And although Celtic will always tend to win because they've got better players and more money, it has been difficult. There are loads of times throughout a season where you don't cruise to victory in these games, but they seem to be cruising to victory every time in these games.
Yeah, nobody ever tips them to lose a game at Celtic Park. They don't really come close.
That's what I mean. It's not even like you don't get those sticky days, really, where you think.
You look at domestically in the league, 26 games, they've scored 76 goals and only conceded 12. Domestically, they're miles in front, squad-wise, everything about them.
You look at from even from top to bottom, the manager as well, everything there. Look, he's improved them massively. They're entertaining. They've got match winners all over the pitch. You look at the middle part, you look at the options up front now. I know that Celtic fans and Brendan Rodgers complained they want another centre forward. Okay with that. But even defenders going forward, chipping in with goals, and the signing of Schmeichel has been absolutely brilliant.
Laurie, how did today set you up for Tuesday? Do you read into it? Are there clues there? The fact that, you know, Maeda was rested and Jota started but came off. Does this all point to that front three that people have been talking about on Tuesday?
I think so, Gordon. I mean, that was one of the first things I noticed, the squad rotation. Five first-team regulars on the bench. What a quintet to bring on at any time. I'm no delusional, Gordon. Brendan Rodgers often says football's all about levels. And I don't kid myself on this far, I think, we've acquitted ourselves quite well in Europe. Unless my arithmetic is suspect, Gordon, I think we've played 9 matches thus far, winning 3, drawing 3, and losing 3. So we're certainly impressed. And I agree with you. I think the object of the exercise is to go there and keep in the game. If we were to lose, I'm hoping we don't lose by any lopsided margin.
Well, the good thing, or potentially good thing, Bayern Munich are about to kick off right now, and they've got a really big game tonight. They're playing Bayer Leverkusen, so they can't afford really to take the foot off the gas tonight. Although they have a cushion at the top of the Bundesliga, that would look a lot less comfortable if they weren't to win this evening. So they're kicking off right this second in that one. If there is anything to note, I mean, if 3 Bayern players limp off within the first 10 minutes, as an example, it will tell you all about it. Thank you very much to Laurie on the line. Do you match Laurie's assessment of it, Mark, about clues from today about who plays Tuesday?
Yeah, well, you'd like to think so. I just don't know. I wouldn't like to second guess Brendan Rodgers, because I'm more thinking of the defensive job, and I'm maybe a wee bit different from Daz. I get it looked better the other night with Maeda through the middle, but he's maybe going to compare it to other away performances, Atalanta being the big one. And Ida started through the middle there. I don't know.
It's very difficult. This is not exclusive to Celtic. This is just football. And when you're assessing it and when you look back, everybody agrees it looked better when Maeda went through the middle. What none of us will ever know is if it would have been that way from the start.
From the start,
You just don't know. You just can't. I get why people would cling on to it, but you just can't tell.
I think we have to be utterly realistic about where the game is being played and who Celtic are playing. We had a mixture of bravado and realism before the first leg when we had callers to Super Scoreboard. My individual impression is that Tuesday night in the Allianz Arena is about Celtic trying to keep the score respectable.
But what does that mean? No, we're talking about the team. So based on that, what...
If you start with Kun, Maeda, Jota...
You think that's too attacking? It's too open?
Yeah, I do. I would fear for Celtic. But Brendan Rodgers, you know, you cannot criticise the man, because he said he came to progress Celtic in Europe, and he has done. So he will give it a shot, because he's Brendan Rodgers. But my overall fear is that no matter who starts, no matter who finishes, Celtic will be involved in a game of damage limitation on Tuesday.
See, at the same time, though, Gordon, see, even if you don't limit the damage, I mean, it's knockout football. I'm not saying that anyone would be comfortable with a heavy defeat, but are Celtic not as well doing? They need to win the game. That's just a fact. They need to win the game. Are you not better just going with your most attacking, you know, entertaining trio and trying to make it happen? And if you fall short against one of the best teams in Europe, is anyone really going to be too concerned?
No, I think that if you're in a situation with Ida in there instead of Maeda, and you allow them to build from the back, I think they'll cut you open. And I think the next goal in this tie is so crucial, because if Bayern get it, the game is away from Celtic. Let's not be kiddied here, it's gone. So I think you've got to put them under a little bit of pressure, and the pressing, and I think there's nobody better than Maeda at centre forward, going upsetting the goalkeeper, upsetting the two centre halves. You seen them the other night there. Look, I totally agree with everybody's saying. I thought Brendan Rodgers tactically got it not bad, because unfortunately he lost a goal just before half time. Maeda was always in the plan to get through the middle and upset them late on, and it worked for them.
But this is different now. They're chasing it. They're out the tie just now. They're chasing it. They can't afford to lose this next goal to Bayern Munich, or that game is well and truly gone. I think it'll be a difficult night. But me personally, I would go with Maeda up top to go and try and unsettle them and try and get something.
It would be pretty straightforward, Mark. Just get two dies in Maedas.
I was thinking exactly the same, Gordon, because when you're putting them through the middle to press this two centre halves, you're taking them away from a right back who is going to maraud up and down all night. So you're expecting Jota to do the work of Maeda, and that just doesn't happen. As talented as Jota is, he's no Maeda at working back the pitch.
Okay, so here's a really basic way of looking at it then. Maybe I've oversimplified it. Is Ida closer to the pressing capability of Maeda, or is Jota closer to the defensive tracking back capability of Maeda?
I think Ida does.
Does that make any sense?
I know where you're going with it. I think Ida does not too bad a job at pressing from the front.
Better than Jota would do going back the way.
Are you starting Ida on Tuesday?
I would go Ida to start the game.
And who's your two wide players?
Well, Kuhn and
Jota.
Maeda.
And leave Jota back on the bench again.
Yeah.
Okay. Martin is on. How are you, Martin?
Hi, guys. I'm good, thanks, yourselves.
Not bad, Martin. I think you want to delve straight into this type of conversation, don't you? What are you thinking about this balance Celtic are on?
There's a couple of points I was hoping to make. So I think we're forgetting that Maeda's suspended for next week.
No, he's fine.
I thought it was the first game there that he could play, and then next week was his suspension.
He missed Aston Villa, so he's free. He's good.
Right, okay, right. Well, sorry, I was under illusion yet that Maeda was suspended next week, so...
That's good news for you tonight, then.
That's a boost, yeah, because I was going to say, when you take his pressing out the team, I think it's a totally different set-up for Celtic. There's nobody does it as good as him. I think next week, I know Brendan Rodgers probably won't do it, just looking at experience of games, but I think we need to try and go there and maybe like sit in slightly more defensively, set up with a bit more of a defensive structure, because what I don't want to happen is you go there and you go and try and play your own game, which is no match for Bayern's, and then you finish a European campaign, which in the whole has been pretty successful. You finish it and like slightly embarrassed with a doing, if you know what I mean.
That's the run you risk.
The risk you run.
The risk you run, rather. Because of who you're playing against. You know, they've done exceptionally well to get to this stage of the competition. And then the choice was Real Madrid or Bayern Munich. A Real Madrid who go to Manchester City and score three goals and win there. It's the problem of being good enough to get to this stage. But I'm very much afraid that whether you compare this team to Martin O'Neill's or Gordon Strachan's or Neil Lennon when they beat Barcelona or whatever, on Tuesday night, Celtic will be playing a team of world-class players. And whether it's Kuhn, Maeda, Jota, Ida instead of Maeda, anything you like, Celtic are overwhelming second favourites.
Thing is, though, everybody knows that, though. Mm. We're not getting any points for pointing that out tonight. And like, you're in it, there's nothing you can do, so you might as well just try and harness whatever positives there were from the other night. Look at where you hurt Bayern and try and, because Celtic did, I think they obviously did, and try and do it again. Yes, that might not work, but that will have to be the mindset when you're in the knockout stages of Champions League football.
I think the biggest positive they can take, Gordon, is the way Celtic finished the game and how they rattled Bayern Munich. Look, nobody's disagreeing that Bayern Munich are a top side. Of course they are. They're on their own turf as well. But they can be rattled. And I keep going back to it. The first goal in this next game has got to be so, so crucial. That's why I'm only saying from my point of view, Brendan Rodgers obviously is the manager, I would be playing my strongest starting 11, And my strongest starting 11, my front three is Jota, Maeda and Kun. And hope that I can get that goal that just lifts everything. Mm-hmm. Look, Celtic are capable of scoring, but if they lose the first goal, there's absolutely no way back for them.
I feel like this is, well, clearly, Martin, this has taken everyone's attention rather than the fact that you went 16 points clear. Is that kind of where Celtic are at? Most people just comfortable with the title race and trying to focus on this?
I think so. I think, like, when you've got such a comfortable lead in the league at the moment, that the European exploits probably do kind of come to the forefront. There was just one other point. I was what I asked the panel was, like, you've spoke today about how the rest of Scottish football is slightly on a decline, the standard of that. How do teams like Celtic and Rangers, even the likes of your Hearts and that, when they're going in, how do we manage to get closer to these teams, or do we just have to accept now that we're pushing for maybe we're last 32, last 16, and that's a good campaign and that's it, if you know what I mean?
So, I mean, Hugh, if we're talking about why can't Dundee United win the league, it's the same answer as why Celtic are going to struggle for semi-finals of the Champions League. It's just the way of the footballing world.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Rangers would be called the second biggest club in the league because Celtic have overwhelmingly dominated the Premiership. But Rangers have got no money. Hibs have just declared losses of 7.2 million. The rest are living hand to mouth as well. And it's unfortunate, but there are moments, and we try to highlight them here. Hearts revival, will it continue tomorrow? Aberdeen go third tonight. Will Jimmy Tilleen begin an upward trajectory, having been in free fall for a long, long time? But there is no question that Celtic are not only dominant on the park, they are dominant off the park because they've got more money than all of the other teams put together.
Mark, how many times over the years would this type of discussion come up? It's not the other team's fault in Scotland that, you know, Celtic have a ceiling in Europe.
Yeah.
But, you know, and at the same time, though, it can't be easy, the psychological shift from playing a home game against Dundee United to going away to the Allianz. So,
of course,
get all that, but I don't really know how it changes in any significant way.
Well, I mean, it comes down to players and who you can recruit, and the money you pay for them. You look at a Bayern Munich team that was assembled, and some of the transfer fees alone are crazy. But you get what you pay, and that is the difference. When you get to this last 32, and then if you do progress to the last 16, the individuals, the profile of these players are up against is so far ahead of you because you're so far behind them financially as well. So you can have all the best tactics in the world, and you can match, Brendan Rodgers can match company on the touchline, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the personnel on the pitch. And Bayern Munich, like it or not, are streaks ahead of Celtic in every department.
Okay, thank you very much to Martin on 0141 951 1025. We're going to start hearing from some of today's managers. Is Stevie Frail going to announce that it was his final game in charge of Motherwell? Will he tell us anything about the man to come in? How will Brendan Rodgers feel about that discussion we've just had? And Rangers fans, if you can bear it, tell us how you're feeling about tomorrow.
After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are here. Still time for you to call and reflect on today's results. Think bigger picture with regards to Bayern Munich. Look ahead until tomorrow. Rangers fans, it's been the week really just dominated by should the manager go. So what does tomorrow look like then? Does a win change anything? Does a defeat change anything? Or is this just treading water for the foreseeable future? Have you any thoughts on the team specifically? Things that are or aren't working? You can get your thoughts in there as well. Here's Brendan Rodgers' thoughts on the game today. The 3-0 win against Dundee United, 16 points clear at the top.
Firstly, the performance was excellent. The quality of our football on the surface is difficult at the moment. It was a really high level, how we connected the game, and all three goals were individual quality. And but the work rate in the team, right from the first whistle, because we've played four times since Dundee United played their last game, so we know they're going to come fresh. Jim's done a great job with them and getting them very organised, very compact, very hard to score against. But I thought our overall game was really, really good. it's the in within the DNA now of this team mentality. We never look for an easy game. We know that every game is a challenge for us. On the back of an exciting midweek, these games can be difficult, but I think if you look at our results after Champions League, it tells you the mentality and the focus that the players have to perform well. So yeah, it was really pleasing.
It's just a job well done, Gordon. I think it's as we said, it's almost just a credit to Celtic that they were coming so straightforward these afternoons.
Yeah, and give them credit because they've had a real run of fixtures, and Brendan Rodgers has highlighted that. But they just got on with it. He's got such a powerful squad. He can rotate five changes. His substitutions are quality when they come on the pitch. He has had a lot of game time, a lot of games. Of course he has. That's why you're successful if you're in the Champions League and you're in all the cups and obviously the league campaign as well. He'd be delighted with that today. A clean sheet as well. So a lot of positives going into Germany.
It's quite right to draw attention to the quality of the three goals. Callum McGregor's goal, outstanding feat from the Celtic captain, wonderful finish. Jota doing what Jota does. And the goal from Adam Ida, the best of the three. So in the midst of total domination, they contrived to score three brilliant goals at the same time.
Ida's in particular, Mark, possibly the pick of the bunch, but they're all could you can make a case for all three.
Yeah, all very good goals. Callum McGregor showing good feet, but I think you're right, Ida pick of the bunch, and he could do with that. He gets subbed obviously a minute after, and he'll be away feeling much better about himself after that. But I think Brendan Rodgers managed the squad well. See, when you look at even their bench and most of their bench, everybody's had sufficient game time, so he rotates key personnel at the right time. And today again gets it spot on, leaves out Alistair Johnson and Taylor and Kuhn on the bench, but still manages to get some of them game time to keep them ticking over for Tuesday.
You know, Gordon, you asked the question, you know, what does a win do for Rangers tomorrow? What does a defeat do? I think the Rangers supporters are saying, win or lose, it means nothing. Look at that Celtic team. They're just routinely going out, winning the 3 points. They've had a hard night against Bayern Munich. They come out, they win the 3 points, and they score three brilliant goals into the bargain.
Jim Goodwin on the losing side today and now not in third place anymore.
Listen, we have no arguments about the final outcome. You know, I thought we were beaten by the better team on the day. You know, you need Celtic to have an off day when you come here. Obviously, we were hoping that they would have one eye on next week with the importance of that game, but obviously it shows you the mentality of the group and of Brendan Rodgers as well. They've got that level of consistency, that level of professionalism. Certainly wasn't down to a lack of effort or anything from my players. I just think sometimes you've got to compliment the opposition, and they're a very good team. Shows you the quality and the strength and depth that they have within the ranks, that they can make those five changes and it still doesn't really weaken their team. They're a very well organised, very well drilled team. Every player in each position knows their job within it. They're a team that can hurt you in a number of different ways, you know, with the pace they have at the top end, with the balls in behind, the different rotations and the movements that they've got in the wide areas. It was a difficult afternoon for us. Wasn't down to any lack of commitment on our part. It was just purely beaten by the better team.
And Brendan Rodgers doing what many people are doing and looking ahead to Tuesday.
We've made great strides this season from last season in the competition, and we were competitive like I wanted us to be. I wanted us to show our level throughout the competition, and we've done that. We've had to come back from some adverse moments. It all bodes well for the progression of the team, and whatever happens on Tuesday, the guys can be really proud of what they've achieved, and we look to build on that. It's an exciting challenge for us and a big opportunity for us. We wanted to respond. We had a really exciting game, like we say, during midweek. Great atmosphere. We unfortunately just lost out in a really good game. You've got to come into this game and do your work. I can only be happy. So it's now important, the recovery process. We get in tomorrow, recover well, and then get ready for Tuesday night.
On to tomorrow, Gordon. Do you agree with Hugh that tomorrow doesn't, a win doesn't change anything for Rangers, and neither does a defeat? It feels like I know a win might not move the dial, but for those that are angry, they can get angrier.
Yeah, I think they've got to win, Gordon. I think there's massive pressure. Now, I'd said earlier in the show, I don't think this manager's got to get sacked. It must be down to finance, because no other manager would have survived Queen's Park, and obviously the anger of the Rangers support. He goes to Tynecastle tomorrow. It'll be a difficult game. He can't afford to lose it, because the Rangers fans are now, I don't know many of them that have got support now of the manager. he was slowly building that support because he had a few wins. He went to Dundee United. The European campaign was good. But you cannot be the Rangers manager and lose to Queen's Park in the Scottish Cup at Ibrox. And I'm not taking anything away from Queen's Park. So tomorrow is a difficult game, but he has got to leave Tynecastle with 3 points.
I know it's like a, it's a bare minimum aim, Hugh, and a bit of a low bar objective. But of all the sticks that have been used to beat Philippe Clement with, what he presumably can't have is something like a 20 point deficit. Yeah, you know, I know, and it's 16 at the moment. I'm not saying it goes to that tomorrow, but you know, if you're going to add those, where you say out of the Scottish Cup, didn't win the League Cup. If the next bit of that is 17, 18, 19, 20, yeah, my goodness, yeah, above 20 at some point, this notion about whether he can survive this week, he couldn't survive the summer if that was the case, could he?
I'm going to take it away from Clement for a second and say the mentality of the Rangers players tomorrow will be important, mm-hmm, because will you be able to spot those players who have down tools? Because the whole place knows that the league's gone and that Celtic can only go further and further away. If anyone downs tools, then the Rangers fans will really go to town on them, because there are European matches still to play. But they lost to Queen's Park because their mentality was rotten. And if it's the same at Tynecastle, they'll lose again. But the rest of the season is about how much more damage can these players do to their own credibility? How much damage can the manager do to his own dwindling reputation? And the scrutiny check begins tomorrow at Tynecastle to see who's up for this or who's already got his mind on the beach in the summertime.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, Gordon, certainly when you look at it. Because I heard a question asked during the week, which is interesting. Someone said to Philippe Clement, you know, would it be better to play, is it better that it's away from home because you won't have the toxicity that you might have at Ibrox? But worth bearing in mind, they're 16 points behind because they're not very good on the road. So is that, what a balancing act that is.
I if it was me, I'd rather play at Ibrox,
even though the atmosphere would have been toxic.
100%. I still think, as you say, yes, they got a result at Tannadice and they played very well that day, and everybody thought, right, they've turned the corner. Hearts have found real form. Hearts have got good players. If they're not at it tomorrow, they could get punished again. I'm not into the players all down tools, right? I know what Hugh's saying. I thought they went onto the pitch, Queen's Park, expecting to win. But there's still a lot to play for. They're still in the European. Well, obviously the European campaign is massive for them. And they've got to make sure that gap doesn't get further and further. As much as the league's gone, Celtic are far too good for them, but they've got to keep plodding away, because see, if they don't, I don't care about finance. You can't keep going with the manager. You have to find a way to remove them.
Having said that, sometimes I get this feeling that our so-called, the bigger clubs, that next bracket down there, the Hearts and the Aberdeens, sometimes the worst thing is when you believe that you can beat one of the big two. Do you know that way? That is all point, and then it sometimes just falls on its backside. I can't really prove that or back it up statistically. It just feels that way.
Hearts, 5 years, 17 matches against Rangers, not one win. But they have good players in Shankland, Kabangu, Penrice, and they have an excellent goalkeeper in Craig Gordon. They're at home. Their supporters expect, the Rangers supporters just have no idea what to expect anymore, and that's what's going to make it so intriguing. High noon tomorrow.
It is intriguing indeed, and whatever happens, we look back on it all 6 o'clock on Monday night. You won't want to miss it. We've a lot to get through, because Celtic 16 points clear as it stands. We see what happens tomorrow, and then it will be the day before the match in Munich, so lots to get our teeth stuck into. Monday night, we'll see you here at 6 o'clock, and in the meantime, stay right where you are. Because if you think Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are just the men to get you entertained for a Saturday night, that is nothing compared to Mr. George Bowie. He's up next with the GBX. Enjoy.